Welcome to Bible and Bourbon with Pastor Ben. Today we are studying the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. I am drinking a Basil Hayden, just a nice little go-to, sippable bourbon whiskey. And our prayer request this week comes from a listener, and it's actually a joy. They just got their GED and are looking to go ahead and start some higher education, some college, I believe, and we can just hold them in our prayers as we celebrate this joy with them. But let's go ahead and we will start our study with a prayer today. Almighty God, we thank you for showing us how we can use our gifts to build up your kingdom, how we can use whatever we are given to your glory and to your honor. Lord, please guide us throughout this week and help us align our life with you. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 6 through 13. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "The perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor will always be with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 6 through 13. So we've talked at different times about how the Gospels are different from one another. There are very few things that are in all four Gospels, and the things that are incredibly important. The crucifixion is in all four Gospels, as is the resurrection and the Last Supper, even though there are some differences in the accounting of each of those items. But there are many other very important things that are not in all four Gospels. The birth of Christ is not in all four Gospels. Even parables in general are not in all four Gospels. Jesus walking on water, it is not in all four Gospels. And now, just because something isn't in all four Gospels doesn't mean that it is less important in any way. Or just because something is doesn't mean that it is more important. Each one of these authors of the Gospels chose to highlight certain things or certain aspects of Jesus' life and ministry, to speak to a certain audience and to tell a certain message. None of these messages are wrong. The scripture is true. From beginning to end, all four Gospels are true. But they do have unique characteristics in one Gospel or another that might reveal something special about Jesus' life. There's a reason we don't just have one Gospel that tells the story of Jesus' life. We have four, so we can have these four unique perspectives, so we can learn something from each one. The reason I give you this introduction before we jump into this text is because this text is one of the few that is in all four Gospels. But it's drastically different depending on which Gospel you read. So we are going to examine this text purely from the perspective of the Gospel of Matthew. There are certain aspects of this woman's story that might be revealed in other Gospels that you might immediately go to. Here in Matthew, this woman does not use her hair to wipe the perfume on Jesus' feet. That's not present in the Gospel of Matthew. Likewise, many people might know from the Gospel of Luke that she is a sinful woman, but she is not called a sinful woman in the Gospel of Matthew. So we're not going to talk about either of those things. We're going to look particularly at what Matthew tells us about her and her story, and how Jesus reacts. Maybe most importantly, here in the Gospel of Matthew, it is all of the disciples who are indignant. It's not just Judas. Because in some of the other Gospels, it's only Judas who questions this woman's use of the perfume and speaks up about giving the money to the poor. With his connection of stealing money from the purse, it makes sense. But that's not the case here. Matthew is revealing something in this story, and we are going to see what he is revealing. So yes, you have probably heard this story before, and in your mind, you probably have some combination of all four gospel narratives coming together in one. But we are going to look only at what we read today, only at what the author of the Gospel of Matthew wanted us as Christians to get out of this passage. So first, we have this description of them being in the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. The only other description we have of this Simon the leper comes from the Gospel of Mark, who recounts the same story. So we don't really know a lot about him. We only know that this was his house. And Simon was a very common name. Simon may be like Bob or a Joe today. There were Simons all over the place. But he was known as the leper, which was less common, particularly because he lived in a house inside of this village in Bethany. Jesus spent time with lepers, and he spent time healing them. But if this Simon currently had active leprosy, he would not be allowed in the town, much less to own a home. So this meant that Simon had to have been cured, probably by Jesus. Or at least that's what many people believe when they read this text, that Simon must have had his leprosy cured by Jesus very publicly and then moved back to town. That is why he was known as the leper. He wasn't someone who actively had leprosy anymore, but someone who once did. Which makes a lot of sense, that Jesus would come back to his home at the end of his physical ministry. Jesus was celebrating with Simon here of a moment in his past, and it's calling to completion everything that Jesus has done so far. Then this woman comes in with an alabaster jar. Now, alabaster is often called a poor man's marble. Alabaster is a softer rock than marble, which means that it can be carved easier than marble, but its white surface can be given an appearance that looks similar to marble. But just because it was poor man's marble, it doesn't mean that it wasn't expensive. A marble jar was not something that anyone could afford, only the wealthiest of the wealthy. But an alabaster jar, being significantly cheaper than marble, was something that an average person could save up for and afford. I'm not going to go out and buy a Ferrari. I do not make nearly enough money to buy a Ferrari, and I never will. But if I decided to save up money for quite a while, I could go out and buy a Mustang. It would be a stretch for me. It would be more money than I normally spend on a car, but it would be something that I could afford. A Mustang is still a very nice car, in the same way that an alabaster jar is still a very nice car, but it's something that you don't have to be absurdly wealthy to afford. And that's what we get from this alabaster jar. This woman was not a woman of immense wealth, but she had saved up and bought this jar that was very expensive. And in it, she had a very expensive perfume, which makes sense. You want an expensive jar to hold your expensive perfume. And perfumes were used in the time of Christ just as they are used today. They are used to smell good. Bathing and hygiene was actually very commonplace in the time of Christ, particularly in the Middle East. Now, the Roman Empire had a long history of bathhouses and taking baths, using perfumes, and trying to make sure that your overall appearance was well-maintained. I know when we think about going back in time. We think about smelly people rolling around in dirt, and there are times where that was true. But in Israel, during the life of Christ, hygiene was important, and people would use perfumes to smell good. And they had cheap perfumes that people might use every day, and then they had expensive ones that people might use on special occasions. And this was an expensive perfume that someone might use for something important. And this woman comes in and pours the entire jar, not just a little bit, as people would often use, but the whole thing directly on Jesus' head. And we as Christians try to give gifts to Christ. As a pastor, every week I ask people in my congregation to offer a gift to Jesus, a gift that they have, whether it's a monetary gift or something else, give it to Jesus. This woman had this expensive perfume. That was her gift. She gave it to Jesus. Perfect, right? But that's not what the disciples think. Our scripture says that all of the disciples, yes, the disciples, meaning all of them, were not happy about this woman's gift. They thought it was a waste, not a gift, because it could have been sold at a high price and given to the poor. And if we stop for a moment and think about that, I can understand where they're coming from. In fact, it's a common criticism of churches today. Why are you building a new building when you aren't giving that money to the poor? Why are you starting a new Bible study when you could be spending time to go help people in need? Why do you have a stained glass window in your chapel when you could be spending that money helping others and just meeting in an open field? I mean, I can understand why. Why do we have these gifts that we give to Christ when we could be helping poor people, the other children of God? But Jesus answers the disciples and answers that question that we might have too. Why would we give a gift here to a church or to Christ when we could be helping people in need? And he says that this woman gave a gift to him, and that is beautiful. She helped prepare him for his burial, which is a gift that no one else had done to this point. It particularly calls back to the passage before where Jesus said that he was going to be handed over and crucified. It's Jesus' way of reminding the disciples that there are more important things than earthly concerns. And that's something that we need to be reminded too. Now, for our own self, as much as anything, there are more important things in our lives than our basic necessities. Finding peace in Christ, giving our gift back to Jesus, is the most important thing we can do in our lives. If this woman had sold that perfume and gave all of the money away to the poor in the name of Christ, then that would have been good for her. It would have been great. It would have been a perfect gift because she would have sold it and then given it to the poor as a gift in the name of Christ. But the same is true with her giving the gift directly to Jesus to prepare him for his burial. That is a gift for him, a gift in the name of Christ, and that is perfect as well. Whether she had sold it or gave it directly to Christ, the gift is perfect because she gave it to Jesus. And the same is true with us. When we give a gift to the glory of Jesus, the gift is perfect, no matter how we give it. As long as the gift is given with true intent, to Jesus, in his name. And it's something that we need to remind ourselves, because sometimes we may feel that our gifts are less than perfect. Maybe we can't give as much as others, or maybe what we give just doesn't seem as flashy as what someone else gives. But in the end, it doesn't matter what others think of our gifts as long as we are giving those gifts to Jesus. This woman gave her gift, and then the disciples looked down on her. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter how the disciples saw her. It mattered how Jesus saw her. So when you give your gift, and you give it to the glory of God, don't worry about what others think about your gift. Worry about what Christ has in store for you. Do not compare yourselves to others who may give more or less. Give what you can, knowing that your gift is enough and that your gift is perfect. Next week, we will continue our study looking at the Last Supper and the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion. As always, if you have any questions or prayer requests, please email me at bible.bourbon@gmail.com. And while it is true that Jesus drank wine in an occasional glass is different than an addiction, if you need help, please seek it. If you need help but don't know where to look, please reach out to me and I'll be happy to guide you. Blessings, everyone.